Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Hebrews, the 11th chapter and 10th verse. And it reads, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." The Storytelling Time program this week is the first story coming from chapter 2 of the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The Fruition. The title of the chapter is The Big Apple, and the title of the story is The Big Apple Part 1, Preparing for a Party. Before we start with our story, I would like you to consider the following tips for becoming an author. The title of this piece of advice is 11 Top Tips on Becoming an Author That Really Work. I'll review the first 4 of these tips on this podcast. The first tip is to pick a writing skill to improve, like improving grammar, for example. The more sentences you write, the stronger your command of the language will become. Number 2, write more stories. Every author should try writing a short story at some point. A short story won't take months to write, even if you never publish it. Consider it a type of writing practice that improves your storytelling skills. Number 3, don't let perfectionism halt your writing career. In other words, don't worry about criticism. And finally, number 4, act like a successful writer. 2 keys to writing like a professional is to, 1, write every day and not just when you are inspired, and 2, commit to reaching a certain word count each day. We will continue to give more tips from this article on the next podcast. Now, we'll get on with our story after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Over the months since Gates first offered the proposal for going on a cruise, all involved had steadily planned for the big day. Maggie and Fred, Maggie's friend Katie, and Sandra, who would presumably partner with Aaron once they arrived in Bermuda, seemed thrilled at the idea. Everyone except Katie's son, Wynn, looked forward to the trip. Wynn was a rebel of sorts. He never got over his father leaving his mother to raise him alone. Wynn remembered being close to his father before he left, but suddenly he was gone. Over the years, a lot of resentment had built up in Wynn because of his father's departure from their lives. Katie did an excellent job as a single parent. Wynn had developed into a good student. In fact, he became president of his sophomore class when he entered high school. But somehow, he got involved with a wayward crowd that led him astray. He even spent some time in juvenile detention for throwing rocks at passing cars when he and a small group of other boys were messing around under a bridge one day. So, he really needed the trip to clear his head, but he was lukewarm about the idea, to say the least. In fact, he did everything he could to justify not going on the cruise. But Wynn loved the beach, so he reluctantly agreed to go. While Gates had arranged the trip through his company, he left the details for planning the venture to Maggie. Those who would travel with her would become known as Maggie's group. She had already contacted Sandra, who in turn had called Aaron to let her know of the arrangements. Maggie also contacted her college roommate, Katie, and gave her all the details about what she would need for the trip, including the date and time of departure from the New York port. Maggie would accomplish all the planning over the next several weeks and would prepare to leave their home in Central Heights outside Chicago with husband Fred and drive to Detroit to pick up their friend Sandra, who would ride with them to the big city. Sandra could not contain her joy and continued to anticipate the trip. Maggie's old roommate Katie and her son Wynn would be waiting for them when they arrived in New York. The plan was, after spending some time in the Big Apple, the next day they would depart the New York port on the rhythm of the high seas. After months of planning, the big day was only 1 week away. Early that Monday morning, Maggie gave Sandra a call.
Hello?
Hello, Sandra. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good, Sandra. And Sandra, the reason I'm calling so early in the morning is because I had a thought about our upcoming trip. I didn't want to forget to ask you. Are you getting prepared for the big trip?
Am I getting ready? Of course I'm getting ready, Maggie. Oh, Maggie, I'm just as excited now about going on the trip as I was when you first invited me. And sorry I kept interrupting you, but I was so excited.
Okay, Sandra, don't remind me of those interruptions. I could tell you were excited because I couldn't hardly explain to you the fact that you were coming with us because of those interruptions.
Oh, Maggie, I know.
Okay, Sandra, let's not dwell on that. Anyway, it's good you're preparing for the trip. But let me tell you, I know we still have a week to go before we leave, but you know how I am. I'm a perfectionist about certain things, and I want to make sure you are getting yourself prepared. Do you hear me? And you said you are, so I'll believe you.
Yes, Maggie. I'll be ready by the time we leave.
I know you will, Sandra. It's such a major trip that's why preparation is so important. Yeah, it's never too early to make sure you have everything in order.
Yeah, I know, Maggie. You're usually on top of everything. But to answer your question again, yes, I'm getting ready for the trip.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Sandra, and I'm glad you feel the way you do about everything. We all need time to get ready for this vacation. So, let me give you the rundown. We'll be gone for 9 days.
For 9 days? Ooh, that'll be some time away from home, Maggie.
Yes, I know, Sandra, and it will all begin next Monday, a week from today, and we'll be away until Tuesday of the following week. The actual cruise is 7 days, but we'll have all day that Monday to have some fun in the Big Apple before we depart on the cruise ship late the next day on Tuesday.
Oh, wow. I'll get to spend some time in the city, my old stomping ground.
Yes, Sandra. We'll be in New York City that Monday night before spending a part of the next day, Tuesday, on the ship after we board and the ship takes off. So Tuesday night, as well as Wednesday night, we'll be on the ship. We'll be cruising all night long before arriving in Bermuda on the third day of the cruise on Thursday. We'll finally be back on land in Bermuda Thursday night and all day and night on Friday and Saturday. Then depart for a little Fiji Island on Sunday morning on our way back to New York.
Oh, wow. That'll be some trip, Maggie.
Yes, it will be, Sandra. And there's something else.
What? You mean that's not all?
Let's take a break, and we'll be back with Maggie's answer to Sandra's question in a minute. Welcome back. Maggie did answer Sandra's question. She said, Yes, Sandra, I don't think I mentioned it, but this stopover in Little Fiji? It's just a little bit extra that the hotel administration Gates is working with is awarding us. Now, Little Fiji is a small island in between Bermuda and our New York destination on the way back. It should be very nice. Our extra time on this island will also give us time to recover from our stay in Bermuda.
I'm sure we'll need it.
You're right, Sandra. We'll need the rest. Anyway, we'll make the stopover there that Monday. Then we'll spend overnight there and return to New York on Tuesday to complete the trip.
You know, Maggie, I know I've talked to you about some of the challenges I had here in New York when I lived here as a young adult. But you know what? As excited as I am about the trip, after all of what you said we'll be doing, I mean, the schedule that you just presented, I'll probably be glad to be back in the city.
Yes, Sandra. It'll be quite a cruise, and I'm sure we'll be tired once we get back to the big city. But hey, Sandra, try not to remember those bad things that happened to you while you lived in New York.
Don't worry, Maggie, I won't.
Okay, that makes me feel better, Sandra. But anyway, after we arrive back here on that day, we'll all go back to our homes. Of course, Katie and Wynn will be home here in New York. And Sinbad and his crew have a scheduled flight back to Florida. And Gates and Courtney had scheduled a separate flight back to Chicago.
And don't forget about Winnie and Ted flying back to Boston, Maggie. And you know, for Sherry and her crew, it'll be a short drive across the river into New Jersey.
You're right, Sandra. We all have to get back home after we deboard the Chip. But for you, me and Fred, we'll be driving back to Detroit. And once we let you off at your apartment, me and Fred will continue on to Chicago. We probably won't get home in Central Heights until much later that day. So, yeah, I agree with you, Sandra. What a trip it's going to be.
Well, like I said, Maggie, I'm so excited. I could leave tomorrow.
Now, Sandra, we won't be leaving early. We still have a lot of preparation to do at our homes before we take off. And that reminds me, I need to talk with the others who are going on this trip, too.
Now, Maggie, you do know I was just kidding about wanting to leave early. I really need all this week to prepare for this trip. And I'm telling you, girl, you're a one detailed lady. It seems as though you have everything covered. But yeah, let everyone in our group know about this trip.
Well, I will do that, Sandra. And yeah, I love the details about anything. I guess it's in my genes. And you can thank my mother, Missy, for that. And listen, think nothing of our coming by to pick you up. I know you wouldn't want to drive to New York if we're going in the same direction. It'll be so much fun with you going with us to the Big Apple.
Oh, Maggie, I appreciate you and Fred doing this for me.
Of course, Sandra. We're looking forward to picking you up. Well, gotta go now. Bye.
Bye, Maggie.
With that, the conversation between Maggie and Sandra was over. Several days would pass before Fred and Maggie take off for Detroit to pick Sandra up. Until then, they would spend this time preparing for the trip. We'll continue with our story after another break. Welcome back. The day of their departure was finally upon them. Maggie, Fred, and Sandra would be off to New York. It was a cool, clear day, as the early rising sun started to warm things up. Maggie gave Sandra a call to let her know that she and Fred were ready to come to pick her up.
Hello.
Hello, Sandra. I hope you're fine. I'm just calling to let you know that we're ready to come by your place to pick you up.
Okay, Maggie, I'll be waiting for you and Fred.
Fred and Maggie made the drive from their home in Central Heights outside Chicago to Detroit to pick Sandra up. When they arrived, Maggie mentioned to Sandra that Gates and Courtney would be taking an early flight to New York because of a business meeting Gates would have to attend. As they started from Sandra's house, it was largely an uneventful drive from Detroit to New York City, with Fred behind the wheel. Eventually, they approached the Hudson River from the west with the city's massive skyline hovering over the water. The almost constant and steady drive on the interstate gave way to a buildup in traffic as they approached the Midtown Tunnel. For security reasons, there were several checkpoints as they neared the tunnel. Traffic slowed considerably as every vehicle was screened before proceeding through the famous passageway to the nation's largest city. Fortunately, they had stopped for breakfast about an hour earlier at a pancake restaurant off the interstate. After normal checks, just prior to entering the tunnel, they were allowed to enter this dark, narrow passageway into the canyons of Manhattan. They eventually emerged from the quiet blackness of the tunnel into the noise of Midtown Manhattan, engulfed by traffic jams and herds of people walking everywhere. The shadows of skyscrapers all around them limited the sunlight along the sidewalks and streets on what was otherwise a perfectly clear and sunny day. After a long drive from Detroit, Fred began to traverse the western part of Manhattan Island as he meandered through the stop-and-go traffic. Maggie, sitting in the front passenger seat, said to Sandra, who was sitting in the back seat, "Well, Sandra, here we are, in your old stomping ground, as you put it."
"Yeah, Maggie, it's because of all the crowds and noise is why I'm glad I live in Detroit now. Besides, many of the memories I have of this place are not good, as I've mentioned to you before."
"Well, let's forget about the bad memories, Sandra. We're here to have a good time over the next day until we board the ship tomorrow." As Maggie and Sandra were carrying on further conversation, Fred continued the process of driving along the streets of Western Manhattan Island. They drove past Broadway, not very far from Times Square. The driving was slow, so there was ample opportunity for Maggie and Sandra to see the sights and sounds of the city. The best Fred could do was to navigate through the crowded city streets without having an accident. So much was going on around them. Both motorists and pedestrians crowded the streets and the sidewalks of the city. They finally escaped the noise of Midtown and arrived at the relatively serene environment of the Eastern Manhattan docks, where cruise ships typically departed. When they got to the hotel, the first people Maggie saw were Katie and her son in the lobby. Maggie greeted her friend with excitement. "Katie, come over here, girl, and give me a hug."
"Maggie, you look as good as ever. Let me introduce you to my son, Wynn. I know you've seen him before, but that was when he was a lot younger. Probably around 13, if I recall."
Katie responded. Maggie then greeted Katie's son. "Hello, Wynn. Nice to see you again. I know you're going to have a good time." "Yeah, Miss Maggie. I've heard a lot about you from my mother, but I remember you coming to our house a long time ago. And I remember you telling me how angry you thought I was." Maggie replied, "I hope you're doing better with that now, Wynn. You seem so nice now." Now, don't get me wrong. You were nice then, too. You just had to deal with some things that a lot of kids that age have to deal with." Katie interjected.
"Yeah, Maggie, he's doing a lot better now. So, Maggie, we go way, way back, you know."
"You know I know that, girl. Yeah, we did quite a bit back in college. Those sure were the days. Anyway, I can't wait to tell everybody about what's in store for later today and tonight. It's so nice today, so sunny and all. But, you know, soon nightfall will be here and we have so much to do."
"Yeah, Maggie, I'm glad you invited us to go on this trip. I'm looking forward to it so much.
Then Katie recognized Maggie's friend as well as her husband.
Hello to you, Fred, and to you, Sandra. I didn't mean to ignore you two, but me and Maggie go way back, as I said, and I'm so excited to see her. And Fred, I'll always remember how you two met at the social after the basketball game at MCCU.
We understand, and you know I remember that, Katie, Fred said. Then Sandra chimed in and said,
Yeah, Katie, Maggie talks a lot about you, how you and she carried on in college. And she mentioned your other roommate, too. I think her name was Corey.
You're right, Sandra. Corey was with us, too, but she didn't hang with us a lot. Anyway, after we graduated, I think she moved out to California, in the Bay Area, I believe. But we haven't kept in contact with her, except for an occasional greeting card at Christmas.
Well, everybody, I think we need to focus on the fun we're going to have here in the Big Apple. I know the main objective of the trip is the cruise, but that won't take place until tomorrow, Maggie said. Then Sandra blurted out,
Yeah, Maggie, I want to go cruising.
Yes, Sandra, we're all looking forward to the cruise, but right now, we're preparing for a party. A party right here in the Big Apple.
Party girl.
Yes, Sandra, we're going to a party. But let me just say, I know that the focus of being here is on that cruise, like I said. But listen, we can take advantage of our stay here in the city, too. There's so much here to do. So, for the remainder of the day, we're going to have such a good time. The party is right here in the middle of New York City. Like Sandra said, we're going to have a party, guys, Maggie concluded. After an overnight stay at a hotel across the street from the New York docks, Maggie's group would depart from one of the cruise ships located there the next day. That ship would be the Rhythm of the High Seas, set to take off for Bermuda. Each of their rooms had a balcony high above near the top of the hotel's 50-story tower. From their balcony, they could view the cruise ships that were docked across the street from the hotel. What a sight! Each member of Maggie's group got the opportunity to view those ships and meditate on the prospect of boarding one of them on their journey to Bermuda. But they had business to attend to later in the afternoon and into the night. They all were going to a party. We'll be back after the following break to finish the show. Welcome back. Maggie had planned everything long before their arrival to Ferris Hotel across from the docks. In addition to the prospect of cruising, she was thrilled about meeting and talking with her college roommate Katie again. After viewing the ships on the dock from the hotel balcony, Maggie enjoyed her little talk with Katie and anticipated conversing with all the others invited to come along on this trip. She had suggested to any interested members of the group several activities, mostly non-paying events like shopping and sightseeing in the vicinity of the hotel. But later in the afternoon and into the evening, they all would be ready to have fun at a festival in the park. That's where the party would take place. Before everyone ventured out into the city, Maggie, as well as the others, would experience the magnificent view from the balcony. Soon, they would head down to the lobby. Finally, they were in the lobby of the hotel. That's when Maggie blurted out, Hey, everyone, we can eat lunch here at the hotel. I've researched it, and the food is good, and the prices are reasonable. Some of you may want to enjoy some of the city, but if you decide to do that, you need to stay close to the hotel. Before too long, we probably need to go to our separate rooms to get some rest for about an hour or two. There's a festival going on in Central Park later this afternoon. I believe it starts about 3 o'clock. It's only about a 10-minute walk from where Gates and Courtney are staying near Times Square. I believe they're staying at the Sheraton near Broadway. Katie said,
"Hey everyone, a taxi could take us from here to Sheraton, where Gates and Courtney are staying. Once we get there, we can all walk to the park. Anyway, we might as well take 2 taxis to the hotel."
Everyone had planned to make it to the park where they would be serenaded by beach music. When Wynn heard this from Maggie, he was disappointed because he certainly didn't like beach music. He was a fan of country music. Katie had always wondered where Wynn got his musical interest from. Wynn ended up telling his mother, "Mom, you all can go, but I think I'll stay in the room and get some rest."
"Now, Wynn, you don't know how much fun it is. I know it's not the kind of music that you are accustomed to hearing, but sometimes it's good to hear something different, something that's new to your ears. Oh, come on now. Come on and go with us."
Yes, after his mother's persistent urging, Wynn finally caved in and agreed to come along. "Okay, Mom, I'll go," Wynn said to Katie. Now, all was well with the entire group going to the festival later that afternoon and preparing for that party in the park. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep this in mind, that there's always more good things coming your way. And we'll see you the next time.